and we'll just turn this service over to you. Try to get this computer situated properly. Okay, maybe we could take it into the aisle.
Put it where we had it last time?
Okay, yeah.
Or maybe in the middle?
Yeah. Yes, I do. Good thing you reminded me.
It's okay. I think that's pretty loud enough.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Can everyone hear me? Praise the Lord. How many can clap your hands to the Lord today? For His love, His mercy, and His grace. Especially the truth that endures to all generations. And before I get into scriptures, before I get into the word, the message for today, I was praying and the Lord put a verse in my heart from Psalms 100. And this is for you today. This is for the church. It says in chapter 100 of the book of Psalms, verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. What are the gates? The gates, the doors of the church. When you enter through those doors, enter with thanksgiving. There is nothing here. There is no sign here that says you have to be silent in the house of God. In order to give the Spirit of God the liberty for him to do what he knows to do best, it's great for us to praise his name. Spontaneous praise and worship is what God was putting in my heart today. And that is going to be the key, because there's a lot of oppression. There's a lot of opposition that wants to close the doors of the Belleville Christian Apostolic Church. But the more that the people praise, the more that the people worship, it is going to be a battle between the evils of darkness and the powers of good and the powers of light. So every time you enter those gates, enter with thanksgiving. And then you enter into the house of the Lord with praise. Spontaneous praise. Nothing is standard in the church. Nothing. The Holy Spirit can come and change everything. There could be a time where we have a plan, we have something, an agenda, but then the Spirit says, I don't want that. I want something else. We have to be able to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And in order to do that, we need to make him feel welcomed. So in order to do that, we have to praise and worship. I want you to stand up, and I want you to praise, and I want you to worship. It's as simple as a hallelujah. It's as simple as a glory to his name. Just think of everything that he's done for you. It's that simple. Hallelujah. And just repeat it constantly. And then before you know it, you're going to enter into a spirit of praise where you're thanking him for everything he's done, for everything you've seen him do. So just go ahead and open your mouth. Just start with the hallelujah. Just say hallelujah. 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 Oh, glory. King of kings. Lord of lords. Abba Shatai Shotomaka Washetentebekai Shabaka. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Because there's no better time to praise. There's no better time to worship than when you are feeling the lowest in your life. When you are feeling the most rejected in your life. Just open your mouth. And when you open your mouth, you will sing new songs to the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. You are worthy, Lord. You are worthy, Lord, of receiving the honor and the praise. All the worship is to you. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Son. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise and worship is the key that unlocks heaven. Praise and worship is the key that unlocks your blessing. Every day of your life, praise and worship his name. For he is good. And there's such a movement of the Holy Spirit in this house. There is such a powerful movement in this house. There is healing flowing in abundance. There is blessing. There is anything that your heart could ever desire. It is all found in the house of the Lord. So bring your burdens. I want you to think of your burdens and bring them. Bring them captive to the Lord. Bring all your thoughts. Bring all those negative comments that they've said against you. Bring everything that has troubled you in this week. Bring it captive to the Lord on this day. I don't want you to leave this place as you entered. I want you to leave this place feeling the joy and the peace of the Lord. Clap your hands one more time to God. Amen. Yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. And I'd like to thank God above all, and then Pastor Jonathan and the beautiful congregation, which is, like I said, my home, for always thinking of my ministry, thinking of me and my family, and always praying, because I have seen the works of God in my life. I have seen the mercy and the abundant joy that comes over all of us, especially when we're here in the house of the Lord together. Amen? Right? Because it's a great thing to come to fellowship to the house of God with your brothers and sisters in God, right? It's good to be around family, but nothing feels better when you're around your spiritual family, because that's where you receive that extra kick, that extra nudge, that extra push that keeps you going and moving forward toward the cross. Amen? Amen. And my wife will be joining us shortly. She had to run some errands for our church. She's part of the planning and the party committee, so today we have a sister that is celebrating her birthday, so she had to do the runarounds. But yeah, she will be here with us a little while later. But now that I have you standing, let's go to the Bible in the book of Matthew. If you do have a Bible. And if you don't have a Bible, then just listen to the word. Hallelujah. I could barely hear myself. Can you hear me? Yeah? Hello? Amen. Can everyone over there hear me? On the Zoom call, yes? Okay. We'll go to the book of Matthew. And this is something that the Lord was ministering to my life first. The book of Matthew chapter 6, and we will read the verses 19 through 21. God bless all the new faces. It's a lot of new faces I did see in these last weeks. God bless everyone. This is a demonstration that the Lord is working. Answering prayers. And the Lord is great. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 21. And for everyone who is new here today, I just want to tell you that I'm not like your traditional speaker. I'm a little more dynamic. I move a lot. A lot. Amen. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. We read in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And I want to focus on this verse. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. I ask in this moment, Father, you pour out your Holy Spirit upon me, Father, that nothing that I speak, Lord, can be contended because you are the truth. Help me, Lord, to speak your truth and to be a vessel in this moment, Father God. We ask, Lord, that this word reaches the depths of our soul. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated, or you may stand, or you may run, or you may walk. However the Spirit puts in your heart to do, I want you to feel full liberty to do such thing. And I remember I was preparing this message and I was praying and I was speaking to God, right? And I say speaking to God because when I pray, I just have a conversation with the Lord, right? I go with the utmost respect, I go with reverence to the Lord, and I speak to him. And I ask him, and I talk to him, and I pour out my heart. I open up my heart to him. And I remember I was praying for the picnic. I was praying for the service. I was praying for all the plans that we've spoken about. And I could hear it clearly. The Lord asked me, "Where is your heart?" And that is the message of today. Where is your heart? Right? Because many times we can be so occupied and preoccupied in life and work and family and vacations and this and that. And the Lord kept asking me, "Where is your heart?" And I'm not speaking about the literal location of the heart. I'm not asking you where your heart is. We know that it's in the center of the chest, right? Slightly behind and to the left of the breastbone. We know where the literal location is, right? If you want to speak science, biology, we know where it is. But where are the intentions of your heart? Where are the thoughts of your heart? Right? And that is something that shook my foundation. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. I do good things. I try to look for the best outcome for everyone. I'm not greedy. I'm not covetous. I'm not envious of anyone. Why is the Lord asking me where my heart is? So I got troubled, and I go to scriptures, and I start reading, and I'm reading, and I'm reading, and I'm trying to search all these verses of the heart. And as I'm searching all these verses, then the Lord tells me, no, that's the message that I want you to preach. Because sometimes God speaks to us, and because we're so preoccupied, because our mind, right, it's so filled and so overwhelmed with the troubles of the day and then the ailments and the pain and the sorrow and the suffering. And sometimes God is trying to get us to lean more towards scriptures, but we're thinking that he's judging us. We're thinking that he's pushing us away. But nothing that God does for us will ever push us away from him. It'll only bring us closer. So that was a reminder to me, where is your heart? It completely, completely shook me to the core. And I go to the scripture, and then as I'm reading, I realize, oh, okay, he wanted me to read. He wanted me to go deeper into scripture. Sometimes the Lord is asking us for something, and we don't know what it is. And we're looking for the literal definition of what it is God is asking us. Right? Because you hear, where is the heart? You're going to say, the heart is inside. The heart is one of the biggest organs of the body, right? Arteries and ventricles and blood and pumps and this and that. That's where the mind goes. That's where the human mind goes. But where is the heart? Where is the intention of the heart? The Bible says that David's heart was like the heart of God. But then you go to scripture and you see that David was a man of war. David was a king. David, he slew Goliath, right? But David also had a moment of weakness where he fell to the flesh. So then you're like, wait, is God expecting me to fall? What is it? How is it that David's heart is like God's heart? But David fell. David failed God. But let me tell you, let's not think about the fact that he failed God. Let's think about what happened afterwards. When the prophet Nathan confronts David, right? And he tells him the story. He uses a parable to tell David what he had done with Bathsheba. Then in that moment is where we learn where the heart of God really is. The heart of God has come to forgive. The heart of God has come to pour out mercy. And in that moment, David understood that God was giving him an opportunity. So what am I trying to say with this? That you don't have to be perfect before the eyes of God. You don't have to be perfect before the eyes of men. The Bible says that 7 times the righteous fall, but 7 times he lifts himself back up again. So you don't have to be the perfect description. You don't have to be the perfect image before anyone. You just have to have a heart that's contrite in spirit and in truth. So when I ask you where your heart is, you have to understand that the Bible says, what we just read, that wherever your treasure lies, there too lies your heart. How many can clap your hands to the Lord? Now, when we speak of treasure, we speak of wealth, jewels, or precious metals, or something worth of great value that is stored or hoarded. That is a treasure. That is a simple definition of a treasure, right? Something of value and of worth that is stored or hoarded. How many of us are hoarders here? Come on, you don't have to be ashamed. Lift it high. Is that your husband? Your brother? Boyfriend, is she a hoarder? Right? You don't have to be ashamed. It's okay.
I gave it up.
You gave it up. Amen. Right? Why do I ask this? Because you've heard the term, right? You've heard the phrase, one man's trash can be another man's treasure, right? So if we go into the sister's house and we see that she's hoarding, I don't know, cat food or cat toys. I don't know why I said cat. Do you have cats? Oh, God. Wow. The spirit is here. She has cat cages all over the place. Oh, God. You see? He does not let me tell a lie. So she has all these cat things that she's hoarding, right? And maybe to us it seems like, all right, it's unimportant. It's not necessary. Why does she have so many, right? It's like the couponers. How many coupons? Come on, raise your hand. I know there's a few. Oh, mama, really, mama? It's okay. It's not bad. How many of us coupon, right? I did it at one point and I got tired of it because I'm like, how many toothpaste do I really need, you know? How many bottles of Head and Shoulders do I really need, right? How much clutter do I really need in my basement, in my pantry, right? But then that's where the key lies. Hoarding and storing away. God was telling me that there's people whose hearts have been hoarding and storing away all the negative, all the wrong. All those anxieties that are coming to your life, all that depression that is knocking at your door, all that sickness that you have been experiencing lately is because your heart is hoarding, is holding on to all the pain and all the sorrow and all the wounds that someone or this world has left in you. But it's time to let it all go. It's time to start a garage sale in your heart. It's time to start labeling prices on things and just taking them out, letting them go. As a matter of fact, just open up the doors of your heart and let whoever wants to take whatever they want, let them take it out. Because in order for us to be filled with the Spirit of God, in order for us to receive what is good, what is powerful from God, we need to have a heart that is willing. We need to have a heart that is empty so that He can fill it up. Amen. Amen. I told you I'm not traditional. There's times where I scream. There's times where I speak low. But when the Spirit of God is burning inside of me, I don't know what to do. I gotta yell. I gotta run. I gotta jump. It's time to open up the heart. Amen. It's time to let it hang all out. Where is your heart? And what is in your heart? What is in your heart? Betrayal? Sadness? And I'm just receiving, so I'm just letting the Spirit flow through me. Roots of anger? Covetousness? What desires are in your heart? And are those desires leading you closer to God or farther away? It's not bad to want. It's not bad to desire. But where your treasure lies, there also lies your heart. So we've seen today, and it's insane how everyone started just investing in stocks and cryptocurrency, and everybody's just dumping their life savings into these deferred comps and all these different companies and agencies and this and that and this and that. But now we see a lot of people hurting because they place their trust into that cryptocurrency, into those stocks. And now the market has been so devalued and everyone is going crazy. Why? Because they started to store their treasures here on earth where the moth and the rust corrupt. I'm not saying you can't have a savings account. Don't misinterpret me. I'm not saying you can't have something aside for a rainy day, right? How many have a rainy day account, right? Huh? We all have like a little rainy day to the side. Well, my rainy day, I must have had like a storm because it's gone. I must have had a monsoon in my life because my rainy day account is it's depleted. It's not bad to store away certain things or money or a college fund. There's nothing wrong with that. But don't make that the importance of why you do what you do. Don't make that the reason for why you go out and work. I used to think all the time, my thing, I have to go to work and get home every day because I have to supply for my kids. I have to supply for my wife. I have to do this. I have to help the church out, right? That was my mentality. But as I'm so preoccupied in that, I'm forgetting about the one who gives me the life to go to work. I'm forgetting to praise him. I'm forgetting to worship him. And my heart is leaning more towards material things. There's always reasons for what we do. There's always a plan, an agenda that we have for ourselves. And again, it's not bad to set a goal. It's not bad to set a goal. But don't make that goal priority. This is God and this is your goal. Understand that before your goal comes God. And understand that sometimes we may feel as though we have our heart in the right place, right? That's another one. I feel like my heart is in the right place. I feel like love at first sight when I looked into his eyes, when I looked into her eyes. Cupid, right? He shot an arrow, right? Because that love at first sight, I don't know, it might be true. It might not be. But what if God tells you that person on who you have your eyes on is not the one that I have for you? What happens when our plans are changed? Where is our heart then? Because a lot of us, we have roots of anger. We have this bitterness and this frustration in our hearts. Because sometimes we think, and at a point in time in my life, I thought that I knew what was best for me. And a lot of us think that we know what's best for us, but the only one who knows what's best for us is our Father that is in heaven, the one who sees it all and the one who knows it all. And he has seen the heartbreak before the heartbreak comes. That is why sometimes he has to be a little stern with us and tell us, do not walk down this path. I need you to go on the straight and narrow. Don't divert. Don't get distracted, because that's going to lead you to heartbreak, and heartbreak is going to lead you to being hindered from the blessings that I have for your life. How many of us have experienced heartbreak? If you don't, please let me know, because you're probably an angel when I have to go ask you questions about heaven. Right? How many have experienced heartbreak? Everyone has experienced heartbreak. Everyone has gone through a situation in their life where they have questioned their own thoughts, they have questioned their own choices, and then they start reminiscing, and all it brings is pain. All it brings is sorrow. All it brings is suffering. So instead of hoarding away and storing away all that in your heart, it is time to empty out the heart so that it can be filled with the love, the grace, the joy, and the mercy of the Lord. I'm not yelling at you, I promise. Hallelujah, right? So we all know about these get-rich-quick schemes, right? Those get-rich-quick schemes, right? We all try to find a shortcut. And why? It's because our heart is in making more money, in having more finances, is getting things done quicker. Nobody wants to put in the work and the effort anymore. What happened to those days where we found value, where we found pride in doing things right? What happened? We took pride in our work. The same applies to the works of the Lord. We took pride in the work of the Lord. We said, look what we have done for God. Look how greatly he has blessed us. What happened to that? Where is that first love? Where is your heart? Where is it? Where did it go? Where did the effort go before you would have to court someone, before you even thought of taking them to the altar? Nowadays, things are done so easily that you meet somebody on social media or you meet somebody on a dating site and boom, instantly I'm married to them. They have taken out the hard work. Everything is done microwavable, right? Everything is done in seconds now. For everything, there is a shortcut. But let me tell you, the only thing that does not come with a shortcut is the gospel of Jesus Christ and our walk with the Lord. There are no shortcuts. There's only one way. There is only one path that will lead to our salvation, that will lead to the truth. Amen. No shortcuts in Christ. It says, in the world you will have affliction, must hold fast, but hold fast, for I have conquered the world. We're going to have affliction. We're going to have pain. We're going to have heartbreak. We're going to go through anxieties. We're going to feel depressed. But that depression cannot last forever because the Word says that joy will come in the morning. It doesn't matter. We want to rush through things now. We want to rush through the services. We want to rush through the Bible studies. For what? I've been to places where they give God a half service. And then they wonder why God takes so long in answering their prayers and blessing them. Because we are putting Him in a different place than first place. Some may have Him second place. Some may have Him in third place. Some may have Him in fourth place. Where is your heart when it comes to God's things? Where is your heart when it comes to the gospel? Where is your heart? In what place have you put God? What is so important to you in your heart? What is so important that you need to fill it up and then overclutter what God wants to do in your life? We go into messy homes all the time. I go into a lot of different homes on a daily basis. Not because I want to, but just because my job calls me to it. And I've seen hoarders, and I've seen some of the cleanest houses. And most of the time where I have to go and there's so much clutter, I can't get to what I need to get to. How do you expect God to find you in your moment of need if you have placed so many things before Him? We have formulated mazes in our hearts. That something that was quick. God had direct, He had direct access to the heart. Now He has to go through a maze. Well, how about this? How about letting people in? How difficult is that, right? We don't trust anybody. We barely trust ourselves. That's why we start always putting things, like, hey, Siri, please jot down that I need to do this, this, and that on this time. Why? Because we don't trust ourselves to remember. We don't even trust ourselves nowadays. And I'm talking about myself, too. I'm not talking about just you. I don't trust myself sometimes. And I have to tell people, hey, remind me of this. Remind me of that. We don't even have enough trust in ourselves. How are we going to have enough trust to let somebody come in? Sometimes God is placing the right person near us to help us, and we're pushing them away. And we're pushing. Ooh. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. We're pushing them away. Because we do not see what they're seeing. They want to help. They want to be a brother and sister in times of need. But we don't see it that way. We see it as though they want to interfere in our lives. They want to interfere in our plans. They want to take over. They want all the credit. Where is your heart? Where is my heart? And I don't take away that there is people that like to shine all the time, right? There's always people that they just want to be known. They want their works to be known. They want to be always in a pedestal, right? There's a lot of people like that. We know them. I know a lot of them. I know of many of them. But there are also those people that God puts near us to help us. But because we don't trust even ourselves, we cannot see that is God using that person to work in us. And we don't want to submit to the authority of God many times because we say, He doesn't know what I'm going through. This person doesn't know me. But it's better sometimes to speak to somebody who doesn't know the situation. Because when you speak to a friend or you speak to a family member, you know, there's going to be a little bias in that. Speak to someone who knows the situation, there's going to be a little bias. But the Holy Spirit, there is no bias. There is no bias in God. There is no exceptions. He sees everyone as equal. If the sinner comes to Him with an open heart and confesses his sins, He sees them just as He sees us. You give your heart to Christ today, and Christ will see you just as He sees us. People who've been in the gospel 30, 40 years, you give your heart to the Lord, He sees you just the same. There are benefits to decluttering. There are benefits to getting rid of the old, right? What's that famous phrase for every time somebody takes over, a new company takes over another company, you know, new management, out with the old, in with the new, right? Out with the old, in with the new. All things have passed. The old has passed. The trouble has passed. And I always tell my wife this, right? Because I don't know, I'm not going to say all women do, but most of the women in my life, they don't forget a lot. they don't forget a lot. They're perfect. They're better than Siri. They have to remind Siri sometimes because Siri forgets, right? Because technology fails. But most of the women in my life, I said Siri. Sorry, Siri. That's Siri for you. I will not mention her name, his name, whatever name it is. Most of the women in my life have very great memories, right? And at times, it can be beneficial, but at times, it can be somewhat troubling, right? And I always tell my wife this. I'm like, honey, what are you talking to me about? Okay, I'll say, let's settle it today. Because come tomorrow, I don't want to talk about it again. Let's settle it right now. Sometimes that's all we need to do is settle it right there and then. Because if we let it harbor in our minds, then we carry it to our hearts. And now it has a place in our heart. And now you're pushing God away a little more and more and more. Every time, right? And I tell her that all the time. And she's like, no, you can't talk about it when you want. I have to be ready to talk about it, right? Right? Sometimes God is telling us, let it go. And we're like, no, God, it's not when you want. It's when I'm ready to let it go. Like I said, not all women, only the women in my life, okay? Just to be clear. And she tells me, and I have to listen to her. But I always tell her, when did it happen? Right? When she brings up a subject, when did it happen? Oh, it happened a week ago. Okay. Did I ask you to talk about it a week ago? Yeah. And what did you say? No. Okay. I don't remember. So I don't want to talk. I can't talk about something I don't remember. Why? Because I like to erase the past. I like to move forward. I like to declutter my heart. And I want to be able. And everybody tells me, wow, Juwan, how is it that you don't harbor any ill will? You don't have any resentment. What is it? I was like, I just don't think about it anymore. How is it it's so easy to forgive people? Because I forget. I forget what they do, and therefore it's easier for me to forgive them. Forget about what was done. Think about what will be done. Right? It says when we pray for our enemies, when we pray for these people who oppress us, right? It's like we're mounting over their heads coals of fire, right? Coals of fire. Right, but I like to see it that if I'm praying for my enemy, if I'm praying for the person, my rivals, the people who think that I'm against them, and when I pray, instead of coals of fire, I'm mounting blessing, I am mounting mercy, I am mounting grace over their heads, because I don't want them to be judged, because I know what happens when God judges people, I know what happens when God sentences people. I want for them to receive and have what I have in my heart, which is peace, which is love, which is joy. But as long as I keep giving first place to those thoughts, to those actions that they did against me, I will never find peace. I'll never find peace. It'll be there. I have a beautiful home for the Lord, and then those memories, those thoughts are like the ugly graffiti in my heart. You ever seen that? Drive around, you see these beautiful places, beautiful businesses, and then you look to the side, all graffiti. Right? Broken windows on the sides, right? Because most of the time, that's what we portray, a nice house, a beautiful house. And on the insides, there's termites. There's rodents. There's spiders, right? What is inside your heart? I'm not led by this. I hate to break it to you, but neither is God. God is not led by what you can
express. God is not led by what you can. He's not led by what you can perceive. He is led by what is in your heart. He studies the heart. He sees the heart. So if your face may have a good intention, but if your heart is impure, he can see those thoughts. The heart is like the safe. Our heart is like our safe, right? There we keep all the good, all the bad.
Sorry, that's me. Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I, the Lord, search the heart. And it's not like one of those searches that my daughter does, because I asked my daughter to go find something for me. I know where it is. I tell her where it is. And she's like, Daddy, it's not there. I don't see it. I'm like, did you even go past the door, Cookie? Did you go past the door? Daddy, I didn't see it. Every time I go, never fails, is right there where I told her it would be. Right? Study. What happens if you're studying for a test, right? Or you're preparing. Let's say preparing for a test. You're preparing for something. And all you do is skim the top. Are you going to retain it? On test day, everything that you skimmed is not on the test. Then what? I guarantee, though, if you had studied the material, nothing would ever throw you off. Studying. Don't just skim it over the top. Don't just call it for what you think it is. Don't look at it at face value. Because a lot of things may seem horrible at face value. A lot of things may seem unimportant at face value. A lot of people to you may seem unimportant. And this is a true testimony in my life. Last night, was it last night? No. The night before last, we were coming out of a service. And I see this young man. And he's walking up to my father. My father's the pastor. And he's talking to him. And I thought, oh, here we go. Another guy coming to ask for money. Another guy coming to bother the pastor. Why? Because I see it all the time. They don't come to the service. They don't want to give their life to the Lord, but they want help. They want the benefits that come with Christ, but they don't want Christ. All right? So I'm like, oh, here we go again. Another one. So I stand by, and I look at my dad, and I wave him off. I'm getting ready to leave, and I feel a jolt in my heart. I'm like, oh, what was that? I was like, what was that? Okay, hold on. There's something more here. So I stand, and I start listening, and he's speaking to my father, and he's speaking to my brother, and I'm standing by, and he says, the Lord sent me here because I need to speak to the pastor and his son. I'm like, okay, I'm listening. My brother's there. He's the pastor's son. Okay, I could just hear from a distance, see what's going on. And then he starts speaking of these revelations that God has given to him, these dreams that the Lord is giving to him. My brother is like, okay. You know, he's not too in-depth with a lot of the things that come with the Spirit, and you know, he's fairly new with this. He's a worshiper, he sings, he doesn't preach, so he doesn't really know too much about the Bible, too much about the Scriptures and the Revelations. So I'm listening, and I'm following, and my dad's like, okay, hey, Juwan, take care of him real quick, I'll be right back. Never saw my dad again. Juwan, take care of him, I'll be right back. My dad understood that it wasn't with him. So I stand in, and I'm listening, and then he turns to me, and he starts telling me of the dream that he's been having. He starts telling me of these revelations that he's been seeing. And at that moment, I understood. I was looking at the outside. I was looking at the exterior. I was looking at the book cover. I didn't take the time to look at the need that was in his heart. It happens all the time. And I don't want you to think that I'm here as the holy of holiest. Like, I don't fail. I fail. I may talk pretty, but I fail. I fall short. It says, because we've sinned, we've all fallen short of the glory of God, right? I fell short at that moment, and he starts speaking, and the Spirit of God comes over me, and I'm able to speak to him. I'm able to translate some of the dreams, and he gave his heart to Christ that night. He gave his heart to Christ that night. He confessed Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior that night. Why? Because all I did was look at the exterior. All I did was look at what was in my heart. And what my heart kept seeing was the same thing over and over. People come, they want the benefits, they want this, they want that, but they never come and give their heart to Christ. And in that moment, I learned something. 2 days ago.
That is why God asked me, where is your heart? Are you really, truly trying to help somebody, or are you looking for personal gain? What is it you're after, Juwan? And I ask myself that all the time. What is it I'm after in the place of work where I work at? What is it I'm after in my matrimony? What is it I'm searching for? What is it I'm seeking? And I go and I search my heart, right? Because like I said before, God searches the heart. Scripture says God searches the heart. He doesn't skim over it. He doesn't do a quick glance. He searches the heart, which means that he's got to go through all those scabs. He's got to go through all those wounds. He's got to go through all the pain, all the sorrow, all the betrayal, all the suffering. He has to go through all that just to get to you. Let me tell you, that's not something that's going to hold him back, though. It might take him a little longer to bless you, but he's not going to give up until he does. He's going to keep searching until he finds the root of the situation, because that is what he does. He puts us first. That's why he gave his life on the cross for us, because he put us first. He saw us first. He loved me before I could even love him. Before I even knew who he was, he loved me. Before I even heard a story about him, he loved me. He did this because he knew now what we were going to go through, because he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's seen it all. He's written it all. He spoke it all. Right? He said, let there be light, and there was light. So what do you think? What do you think can stop him from doing what he has to do in your life? Where is your heart? Where have you put your heart? Where have you hidden your heart so much that even the Lord is saying, where is your heart? When Adam failed in the Garden of Eden, God knew where he was, but God gave him the opportunity to come clean. God said, where are you, Adam? Where are you? God knew exactly where he was. God knew exactly what had happened. But that's the mercy of the Lord, right? Even when we're going down the wrong path, even when we are so bitter and we are so tunnel vision and locked into our goal that has nothing to do with God, he just whispers in our ear, where is your heart? Where are your intentions? What is the total outcome of what you're setting out to do? When Saul set his eyes on the path to Damascus, prior to that, Saul had gone to the priest and said, whomever professes Christ, I want permission to bring them captive back to Jerusalem. That's where Saul's heart was. That's why he set out. He's like, if I find them in my path, wherever I may find them, I want the permission to hold them captive and bring them back to Jerusalem. And Saul set out with that intention in his heart. But our God is such an awesome God that on his way to Damascus, it says that he was interrupted by this flash of light. We need to let God interrupt our plans. We need to let God interrupt our dreams. We need to allow God to interrupt our goals, because he knows what's best for each and every one of us. If he calls us to eternal life, if he takes someone from the earth, he knows what is best. He knows what comes after. We do not know. All we have to do is trust in the Lord with all your mind and all your heart and all your soul. That is all we have to do. All your heart. I understand you have a broken heart, but God says, I am here to put the pieces back together. Where is your heart? You might not even know where your heart is, because it's been broken time and time again. It's been smashed. It's been scattered around different places. Why? Because wherever your treasure lies, there also lies your heart. So if your mind still lies in what happened in the past, and a piece of your heart still lies in the past, if you had a problem in this place and a piece of your heart is in that place, God is asking you, where is your heart? I want to go. I want to search your heart. I want to bring it together. I want to piece it back piece by piece. I want to give a heart of flesh in the place where there is a heart of stone. Because that's what happened after our heart's been broken so many times. From a heart of flesh, it becomes a heart of stone. Right? There's a song out there where it says, I have an icebox where my heart used to be. And a lot of us, even followers, even believers, have an icebox where the heart used to be. We've grown cold. What does Scripture say about that? Because of sin multiplying, the love of many will grow cold. I said before that we don't even trust in our own selves, let alone other people. And I'm not telling you to put your trust and your faith completely in man, because the Bible says that damned is the man who trusts and put his faith in another man. But the right people that God has selected to put in your life is so that they can thaw out that heart of ice. God's love is so warming, right? His joy is so warm that when he puts somebody next to you who's filled with the fire of the Holy Spirit, all that ice in your heart, all that sorrow, all that pain starts to thaw out. All that clutter, right? Sometimes we need to hire a cleaning company. When I bought my house, I had to hire a cleaning company because there was so much stuff that had to be taken care of. And I forgot. I had forgotten what comes with a new home, right? When you move into a new home, you move into a new apartment, you have to make it yours, right? You have to decorate it in your own way. You have to put the lights that you like. You have to paint it the colors that you want. There is nothing worse than moving into a new place that smells old. I'm going to say it again. There is nothing worse than moving into a new place that smells old. When you receive Christ in your life, when the Spirit moves into your home, there is nothing worse than moving into a new place with the smell of old. You can't harbor the Spirit. You can't harbor love and hate in the same place. Why? Because God is the fountain of living waters, right? God is the fountain of living waters. But the past and the torture and all everything else that you harbor in your heart, right? One tree cannot bear two fruits. An apple tree cannot bear oranges. I mean, I don't know, maybe today they might, because everything is topsy-turvy, upside down, and sideways, right? What used to be summer is now what? Sprinter? Right? What used to be fall is now wing, is winter and spring, right? We don't know. But in God's eyes, one tree cannot bear two fruits. One fountain cannot give out two waters. It can't be salt water. It can't be sweet. So where is your heart? What is in your heart? Clap your hands to the Lord. We're almost done. Praise God. Proverbs says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Keep your heart with all diligence. In other words, guard what goes into the heart. Don't allow just anyone, just anything to enter the heart. But at the same time, don't become so paranoid that everything becomes bad for your heart. Because sometimes a little trial is necessary to get us closer to God. Eh? It's necessary sometimes. So, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. And this is my favorite. This is my favorite Bible verse. Seek first the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will follow. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. God, how could you ask me to seek first the kingdom of God when you see how they're treating me? You see what I've been through. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What is righteous? How can you display righteousness when you're not in the middle of trouble, when you're not in the middle of the trials or the tribulations? How can you exude righteousness? You need righteousness where? In an unfair world. Right? It's so unfair. I deserve that. They shouldn't have gotten it before me. I've been here longer. How is it possible? I don't understand. There's a lot of things that we don't understand. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I remember when I read that, I was very, very young. And little did I know that that was telling me where to put my heart, right? Because wherever lies your treasure, there also will be your heart. So if I'm seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then everything else follows. That is telling me where I should be placing my heart. Second part of that verse says, place your heart where? In heaven. Place your treasures in heaven, where moth and the rust cannot corrupt. Right? Where is your heart? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Sometimes his righteousness is not what we want to do. Right? Sometimes it's easier for us to get upset, get bitter, frustrated, and now we're working 10, 15 years with that frustration, with that bitterness, right? And we don't realize that the people around us are breathing in all that bitterness and all that frustration. And we're becoming now, when we once were a vessel of God, a vessel of his joy, a vessel of his grace and his love, now we're becoming a vessel of frustration and bitterness and sadness and sorrow. And everybody who looks at us who used to say, wow, he looks like such a happy man, now they're like, hmm. Let's stay away from him. Remember, I got to work when I first started my first year, and there was this one man that everybody just neglected. And I'm like, oh, that's not nice. I'm going to go speak to this man, you know? Because we were always happy, right? When we started in the walk of the Christ, we want to speak to everybody. We want everybody to feel joy. We want everybody to feel peace, right? Ah, I'm so happy. I'm serving God. And I'm like, yeah, I'm new in this place. Everybody rejects him and neglects him. I'm going to go say hi to him. Hi, how are you? And he turned his face away. I'm like, oh, maybe he didn't hear me, right? I'm very optimistic sometimes, so I go back to him the next day. Hey, how you doing? I'm Officer Martinez. Turns his face away again. I'm like, okay, that's not a coincidence. But maybe, I don't know, maybe he just doesn't like new guys. I'll give him a month. That whole month I said hi to him every day. Turned his face away. Or he pretended like he didn't hear me. Or I would go up to him and he'll go like this. And he'd turn around and walk the other way. Right? We're gonna encounter that. We're gonna want people to know the love of God, and we're gonna run up to them all wholeheartedly and happy, and they're gonna turn away. They're gonna refuse it. They're gonna reject it. So what does that mean? We have to give up? We have to stop? No. Did he stop for us? Did he give up on us? No. So just because that person made you upset, because that person made you feel a certain way, that's it? They're no longer worthy of salvation? No. So every day on that month, I went up to him. He rejected me. I went up to him again. He rejected me. Until one day, he couldn't hold it anymore. He said, can you not take a hint? I'm like, I'm sorry? I beg your pardon. Do you not take a hint, kid? Because he's an older man. Do you not take a hint, kid? I'm like, no, I was just saying hello. He's like, okay, hello. And he walks away. And I turn around, I'm like, yes. And I'm like, yes. Right? And from that day forward, I say hello, he'd wave back. It was probably a year. Hello, he'd wave back. That's it. That's all we had. That was our relationship. Hello, he waved back. But I was the only person he waved to. I was the only person he acknowledged. And that made me feel great, not because I was the only one, just because I knew he could. God was using me to help him break through something, help him get through something, right? In our lives, there's going to be a point where we're going to feel blocked, where we're going to feel hindered, where we're going to feel stuck. But God will put the right person in our side to get us that breakthrough. Too much stuff in the heart. And then there's a little you behind it, just trying to get through it all. But when you leave the doors open, you can let a lot of things come in. One of those things that you can let in is the love of God. It's forgiveness. It's mercy. It's grace. And what that does, it clears up the fog. Right? That's why we have fog lights for the rain and for the fog, right? What happens when you're driving your vehicle and you turn on your fog lights, the fog all of a sudden disperses, right? It goes to the side, stays away. And this man just, for a whole year. The following year, I was like, I want to take it up a step. Take it up a notch, you know? Step it up a notch. How are you? Before it was hello, now it's, how are you? And I still got a wave. I know it sounds funny, but sometimes we just got to keep, right? Like the water drop on the stone, on the rock. The water keeps dropping on it in the same spot. It keeps dropping. You don't see what's happening, but on the inside, something's happening, right? The water keeps beating. That rock starts losing that force, that strength inside. Starts breaking apart. Starts separating. Just stay on top of that person. Stay on top of that person. Keep beating them in. Keep beating them in. Just a simple hello. Simple God bless you. Simple Jesus loves you. And you know what? One day they're going to know. They're going to understand. One day they're going to come to realize that it wasn't you. It was God behind you. It was God with you. So it may seem like nothing is happening now. It may seem like you're wasting your time. But your heart, God is in your heart. And when that moment comes, they will realize that God has placed you in your life for their better good. And I'm glad to say that until he retired, he was one of my best friends in that place of work. He just retired not too long ago. I was the only one he spoke to, the only one he cared to ride with, because we were paired up and he didn't ride with anybody. Nobody rode with him. But God allowed me to go into him. I spoke scripture. I spoke truth into his life. I spoke life into his life. And even till today, when he's going through something, he'll shoot me out a text message, pray for me. And he has all these well wishes. I tell you what, if I would have gave up on him, would I have seen those fruits? One tree cannot bear two fruits. If I had gotten so frustrated and bitter, if I had gotten so upset to where nobody loves me, nobody wants me, nobody cares. There is one who loves you. There is one who wants you. There is one who cares. My God, my God, my God, my God, my God, my God. Suicide is not the answer. My God, my God, my God, my God. There's a better answer than that. You not being here doesn't solve anything. Because what you leave behind are torn and broken people. I don't know who the Spirit is talking to today, but you taking your life is not going to solve anything. Now, when you let me enter your life, I will solve everything. We do not have the answers. Only God has the answers. Let's speak more to him. Let's let him do in our lives, in our hearts, what only he can do. Where is your heart? Clap your hands to the Lord. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Like I said before, there's only people who want the benefits of Christ, the benefits that come with Christ, but they don't want to know Christ. They don't want to accept Christ. But delight yourself. Become one with the body of Christ. And he, look, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. And many may say, how do I do that? How do I do that? How can I find delight when all I see is pain? When all I see is betrayal, all I see is sorrow, all I see is a dark day, all I see is the gloom, all I see is the clutter, all I see is everything that I've been hoarding for years. The answer is in Psalms chapter 51, verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord. That's the answer. That's the answer. When you feel like your heart is being cluttered, overtaken, create in me a clean heart, O Lord. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. God is the strength of your heart. God is the strength of my heart. But we cannot experience that strength if we don't give our hearts to Christ. If we don't give complete dominion and control of our lives to him. If we don't let the Holy Spirit of God come and dwell in our hearts. And then I leave you with this. John chapter 14, verse 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Don't let anything bother you. Don't let anything contaminate your heart. Don't let anything poison your heart. Guard your heart. Neither let it be afraid. I leave you with that today. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Don't let anything poison your heart. Don't let anything overtake, clutter, hoard, store only things that are bad in your heart. And let it not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid to give yourself another chance. Do not be afraid to give the Lord a chance to do what he can in your heart and in the hearts of your loved ones. You are here today. The Lord is speaking to you because when time comes, you heard the message. You heard the word. When trial attacks you, when problems come over you, you will have the answer. And you will help others find their way to Christ. Do not let your heart be troubled. And do not let it be afraid. God bless you.